right, get ready, because today we're going deep on a case. And it's a real reminder that even when you have contracts, things aren't always, well, you know, as straightforward as they might seem.
Yeah, definitely.
So picture this, okay?
Okay.
1965.
Right.
Hunt Foods. They've got their eyes on Eastern Can Company, ready to, you know, make a purchase, right?
Mm-hmm.
Price is all set, but then, oh boy, things get a little messy.
Uh-oh.
They need to take a break from the negotiations, but they also can't let this deal just slip away.
Right. Makes sense.
What happens next ends up setting the stage for this, like, huge legal battle
yeah.
that goes all the way to the New York Supreme Court.
Oh, wow.
So, we're talking Hunt Foods versus Dahlinner, a case that really, like, reshaped how courts view these contracts, especially, you know, when you've got these handshake deals bumping up against, like, official signed documents.
The classic, isn't it?
So to kick things off, can you kind of set the scene for us? Like, what did Hunt Foods actually do to protect themselves during this, like, negotiation timeout?
Well, they made a pretty savvy move, I'd say. They secured what's called an unconditional option to buy Dahlinner's stock.
Gotcha.
So basically, this gave them the exclusive right, no strings attached,
right,
to buy that stock at a price they'd already agreed on.
Okay.
Within, like, a specific time frame.
So it's like dibs, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
It was their way of, you know, marking their territory.
But here's where things get a little interesting.
Oh.
Dahlinner, he comes back and says, hold on a second.
Okay.
He claims there's, like, a side deal.
Mm.
A gentleman's agreement. Happened off the record, right? Right.
Interesting.
He argued that this option, this dibs, was only supposed to be used, like, in a very specific situation.
Okay. And what was that?
If he, Dahlinner, started shopping around for a better offer.
Oh, I see. So, like, a safety net for Hunt Foods.
Exactly.
Okay. That makes sense.
But, you know, now we're running headfirst into this thing called the parole evidence rule.
Ah, yes. The dreaded parole evidence rule.
And it's like this legal principle. It basically says you can't just use he said, she said to try to change what's already written down in a contract.
Yeah, it's there to keep things clear, you know.
So you can't just rewrite history after you've put it in black and white.
Precisely.
But here's the thing. Dahlinner wasn't saying he wanted to, like, rewrite the whole contract.
So what was his argument then?
He claimed this side agreement, it didn't actually contradict the written option.
Okay.
It just, like, added a condition to it.
Interesting.
It was like a secret code word, you know?
Oh, I get it. So it's not changing the agreement. It's just, like, clarifying when it kicks in.
Exactly. It's like saying, sure, you have dibs, but only if I do this specific thing first.
Yeah, okay. I see what you mean.
And that's where things get super interesting.
How so?
Because now the court has to figure out, like, okay, is this oral condition actually inconsistent with what's in the written contract?
That's a tough one.
Or is this just, like, an extra layer of understanding, you know?
Yeah.
Like a wink and a nod that never quite made it into the official document.
So what did the court ultimately decide?
Well, this is where Hunt Foods v. Dahlinner becomes, like, a landmark case.
All right. I'm all ears.
They decided, nope, we can't just dismiss this outright.
Whoa, seriously?
Dahlinner, he gets his day in court. They're going to let him try to prove this oral agreement actually existed.
Wow. So even though they had this signed contract, the court was like, hold on, there might be more to this story than meets the eye.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like they're acknowledging that even a simple handshake can have, like, real legal weight.
That's pretty significant.
So it's kind of like a turning point, right?
How so?
Before Hunt Foods v. Dahlinner, the written word was basically king.
Right, yeah.
Like, if it wasn't on paper, it practically didn't exist in the eyes of the law.
It's all very black and white.
But this case, it's like they cracked open the door, right?
Yeah, it's like they're saying, hey, maybe the intent and the context behind the agreement are just as important as the words themselves.
Mm.
That adds a whole new layer of complexity, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
But it also, I'd argue, adds a layer of fairness.
Right, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, sometimes things aren't as straightforward as they seem on paper.
And this decision, it had a ripple effect.
Oh, for sure. Big time.
It changed how courts looked at contracts from that point on.
Yeah, it made them more open to considering the bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the context, the intent, even when everything wasn't perfectly spelled out in writing.
Right. Like, there's more to a deal than just the words on the page.
Precisely.
I mean, this is fascinating stuff. But it also feels like opening a can of worms. You know, like if courts start taking these oral agreements seriously, even when they weren't written into the contract, wouldn't that just create chaos in the business world?
Oh, yeah, I can see where you're coming from. It's like, what's to stop anyone from claiming they had a side deal and just backing out of a contract?
Exactly, exactly.
And that's precisely why the court's decision in Hunt Foods v. Dolliner was so carefully crafted. Like, they didn't just throw the whole parole evidence rule out the window.
Okay, yeah.
Or give oral agreements free rein. Instead, they established a specific test.
Oh, okay.
A set of filters, you might say.
Okay.
To weed out frivolous claims.
So like a safeguard.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, what is this test?
Well, it's a two-pronged approach.
All right, lay it on me.
First, they look at whether the alleged oral term contradicts something that's explicitly stated in the written contract.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
So, you know, you can't have a contract that says you'll do one thing and then a side agreement saying you'll do the opposite.
Right, that would defeat the whole purpose, right?
Exactly.
Because having a written contract in the first place.
Exactly, exactly. Now, the second part of the test, this is where things get a little more nuanced.
Okay.
The court asks this. Would the parties have definitely included this term in the written agreement if they had actually agreed to it?
So it's not just about whether the oral agreement, like, contradicts the contract.
Right.
It's also about whether it makes sense given the, like, context of the whole deal.
Exactly. You got it. The court recognized that, especially in these complex business negotiations, not everything is always spelled out in detail.
Right, right.
There might be assumptions,
mm-hmm.
industry norms, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
Or even unspoken understandings that kind of influence how the parties are interpreting the terms.
So sometimes what's left unsaid can be just as important as what's actually on paper.
You hit the nail on the head. And that's the real gem, the key takeaway from Hunt Foods v. Dolliner.
Okay.
It didn't completely swing the pendulum in favor of these oral agreements.
Right.
It just acknowledged that there are situations
mm-hmm.
where the context,
yeah.
the intent,
yeah.
the circumstances surrounding a deal, they can all play a role in, you know, really understanding what the parties truly agreed to.
So it's a more holistic view.
Exactly. It's not just about, you know, the black and white of the legal document.
This case really drives home the point that clear communication and documentation are just, like, essential when you're entering into any agreement, wouldn't you say?
I couldn't agree more. Hunt Foods v. Dolliner, it's a cautionary tale. It reminds us to be mindful, you know,
yeah.
of what we say mm-hmm. and what we don't say during negotiations.
Right.
Because even those casual conversations, they can have legal weight.
Yeah, they can come back to bite you.
Especially if they, like, influence how a written agreement is understood down the line.
So it's not enough to just, like, have a lawyer draw up a contract. You have to be aware of, like, everything you're saying and doing.
That's right. And if there are side agreements or understandings or special conditions that aren't, you know, clearly laid out in the main contract, you got to put those in writing.
Yeah, cover your bases.
To avoid those future headaches.
Seems like having a good lawyer can really make a difference here.
Oh, absolutely. A seasoned attorney, they can be invaluable. They can help protect your interests, make sure everything is crystal clear, and guide you through the maze of contract law. They can save you a lot of trouble.
Like a legal Sherpa?
Exactly. They help you navigate the treacherous terrain.
So Hunt Foods v. Dolliner, it's like a reminder that contract law is about more than just rules, right?
Totally.
It's about understanding how people interact and making sure their intentions are taken into account.
Precisely.
It's really amazing how a case from way back in the 1960s can still be so relevant today.
I know, right?
Like in our world with emails and, you know, texts and these kind of virtual handshakes happening all the time, how does a case like Hunt Foods v. Dolliner actually apply to the average person? You know, someone who's not out there negotiating these big million-dollar deals.
Well, it kind of highlights this principle that I think applies to, well, pretty much everyone.
Yeah.
Whether you're signing, say, a lease agreement or, I don't know, agreeing to do some freelance work
mm-hmm.
or even just making like a verbal agreement with a friend.
Yeah.
Being aware of what you're saying, what you're not saying, and what all that means legally is, well, it's crucial.
So are you saying we should, like, be recording all our conversations?
No, not necessarily.
And insisting on, like, written contracts for absolutely everything.
It's not about being, you know, overly suspicious or yeah. turning every little interaction into this big legal battle.
Yeah.
It's more about just being mindful,
nope.
taking steps to protect yourself, you know?
So any practical tips? Like, what can we actually do to avoid ending up in a situation like Hunt Foods or Dolliner?
Okay. First things first, if you're dealing with something complex, you know, something where the stakes are high, talk to a lawyer.
Yeah, makes sense.
It's always better to have a professional in your corner, especially when you're navigating these, you know, legal waters.
Okay, solid advice. What else?
And remember, clear communication, that's key. You and the other person, you got to be on the same page.
Right.
About what you're agreeing to, the terms, everything.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be afraid to, you know, ask questions.
Right.
Clarify things if something seems off.
Don't just assume.
Exactly. And if there are any, like, side agreements.
Right.
Understandings, things that aren't spelled out in the main document, write them down.
So documentation is key.
Documentation is your friend. Even a simple email or memo, that can go a long way in preventing headaches later on.
It's almost like this case reminds us that contract law, it's not static.
Right.
It's constantly evolving.
It has to keep up.
To reflect how we're interacting, how we're doing business, all that.
Exactly.
So, looking ahead, as technology keeps changing how we communicate and make agreements, what do you think? What can we expect in the future?
Well, I think we're going to see more and more cases that really push the boundaries of contract law.
Yeah.
We're already seeing disputes popping up from online agreements, mm-hmm. text messages, social media interactions, all sorts of stuff.
It's like that line between formal and informal. It's getting blurry.
Yeah. And the courts, they're going to have to figure out how to apply these, you know, traditional legal principles to these new situations.
So Hunt Foods v. Dollner, it might seem like an old case.
Yeah.
But it's incredibly relevant.
More than ever.
It's a reminder that contract law, it's not just about rules on a page. It's about, you know, understanding the nuances of how we interact with each other.
Absolutely. And how those interactions can create these binding agreements.
Especially in a world that's constantly changing. Well, this has been an amazing deep dive. I really appreciate your insights on this. And for everyone listening, if you found this interesting, you know, I encourage you to dive deeper. Explore contract law, the Uniform Commercial Code, all that good stuff. It's a fascinating field that's constantly evolving. Thanks for joining us on the Deep Dive.